All right, so here we go. If everything goes well, this is going to be episode one of something for Jimmy Hanna. Okay, so I will, before I tell you a little bit about who I am, I'm running. And I'm going to try and make every episode during a run. At least that's going to be the intent. Because, you know, this is something that I'm thinking about right now, actually. I think it's going to help me slow down. I've been seeing that there's a lot of the running that I'm doing that is way too fast. And I don't think that's good for me. So I'm going to try and slow down and see what happens. So, yeah, who am I? Who's this lunatic that's going to do about 10 or 15K today? That's running to himself, talking to himself while running. So I'm Jimmy, like I said before, Jimmy Flores. And, where do I start? So, relevant to us, I'm a runner. I run. I'm not a professional runner. I run because it's made me incrementally happier as, I've been able to run longer distances. So, yeah, it's made me happier. And now what I'm doing is I'm hoping to start a brand. It's called Red Light. It's not called Red Light. It's a red light that I just hit here. All right. Let's not get run over by a car. So yeah, I want to start. I'm starting a fashion brand. That's called Jimmy Hanna. Jimmy, J-I-M-M-Y, Hanna, H-A-N-A. And Jimmy Hanna is basically Jimmy Flores. Flores means flowers in Spanish. And Hanna means flower in Japanese. Why Hanna, you ask? Good question. And flores. So, simple. The .com was available for Jimmy Hanna. I liked the short last name. And, yeah, it was available. It was cool. So I chose to go with it. Now, why the hell do I want to sell more clothing eventually? And here's the thing. I have no idea how I'm going to do this. Because, I don't want to say I don't have any money, but I don't have any money to start a fashion company. Let's start there. So, this isn't a situation to where I'm secretly sitting on a pile of dough, or my parents are rich, or my uncle is a fashion mogul, or any of those things. This is really simply probably the biggest dream that I have, the biggest dream on my list is to start this fashion company, fashion, athletic wear, running clothes, fitness clothes. Basically, it's really clothes to help people be happier while they're running, while they're sweating. You know, and no, I don't have the idea that these clothes are going to magically infuse you with something or other. It's just brighter, more vibrant, happy clothes that reflect what running, you know, kind of helps me feel inside. So, because yeah, I'm also going through a really long journey of self-understanding, learning, becoming in general a better person. And yeah, this whole process is interesting. So anyway, I do have a background in fashion, mind you. So initially I started, I went to school for fashion. I went to school here in Barcelona. I'm originally from California. My parents are Mexican. I am from California, born and raised. But when I was about, I think 20, we just clocked off 1K. And we are going at a pretty moderate pace of 5:30. So, there we go. So, parents Mexican, I'm from California. And when I was about 20, I came out here to Barcelona to study. So, I came out here to study fashion because basically the fashion schools in the States were crazy expensive. Totally couldn't afford it. So, it was crazy that I could afford to live and go to school in Spain easier than I could just afford to go to school in the States. At least with, let's say, a relatively decent school. Although every school is an opportunity to learn something. But anyway, so yeah. So I did study fashion here for 3 years. It was a very intense experience, very gratifying. It's really, really, really cool to create things. I think that's one of the things that really makes people happy and we totally lost sight of, like completely, you know. Sidebar here, in Madrid, I started because, I'm jumping you now from Barcelona to Madrid, so just follow along. So, in Madrid, I started a nonprofit, where basically it was a nonprofit in the DIY space. So the idea was to encourage people to discover that they can make stuff with their own two hands. And then the idea was to try and help them take their first steps, those that wanted, in the entrepreneurial direction with what they were enjoying and liking to do. So, because it was really a natural progression. As soon as people started making stuff by hand, there was an overwhelming number that would kind of say, hey, you know, if I just made 10 whatevers, shirts, notebooks, whatever, then why don't I sell these 10? So it becomes this little business. So, yeah, this goes back to making stuff by hand. You know, when I was in fashion school, making all this stuff by hand was absolutely, you know, fulfilling and gratifying. Every day, I'd go in there, learn something, make it, and either in a few hours or sometimes a few days, there would be something that didn't exist in the world before. It's pretty cool. So, yeah, we've lost touch with that joy. But anyway, so went to fashion school, and all this time, I think it's important for this. I've been overweight. I mean, I haven't been grotesquely overweight to like being at a bedridden state. Not at all. I don't want to give off that impression right now. In the past 4 years, something like that, between diet and running, And diet is a whole little rabbit hole unto itself. Between diet and running, I've lost about, let me see, it's been about 30 kilos, which would be in pounds. No idea. Probably about 45 to 50 pounds, something like that, I would imagine. So yeah, it's been a really interesting journey to lose the weight. I think that was one of those, another one of those things on my list of dreams that, you know, I'm getting close to really ticking it off, because the idea was to lose some weight and obviously, like most of us have in our head, get a fitter, flatter stomach, blah, blah, blah. And I still have a little bit of a belly, but yeah. Anyways, so we knocked off another cake. We're at 2. Yeah, I'm on Strava. So if you want to follow today's run, which is a rainy run because it's raining right now in Barcelona. I don't know if you can pick up the rain in the audio. I'm pretty sure you can pick up the super annoying jacket that I'm wearing. That's probably rubbing against the mic. I don't know. We'll see how this whole little experiment goes. I might just end up talking to myself for an hour and not recording a damn thing. So yeah. So I came to Barcelona, studied fashion, ended up working in graphic design. But back in Madrid, because after Barcelona, I started tried to start a little fashion adventure with another student from school. That, man, what a story. I learned a lot, I can say that. So yeah. Well, I guess I'm giving you a little bit of my background just so you know who I am, because when I do another podcast and I don't do this, it's kind of like, who the hell is this guy? Well, in Madrid, sorry, Madrid, when I finished school in Barcelona, I started this little fashion thing, and complete flop. I mean, I managed to get highly annoyed by the co-founder, because she was basically never there. Her family lived on an island off of the Spanish coast called Mallorca, and she would always go back home like every weekend. So during the week, I'm there trying to, you know, put in the schoolwork to finish up my and get my diplomas and whatnot. And in the weekend, when we're supposed to be working, I have to stop for 1 second. There's something, the tip of my shoe. God, what is this? Anyway, we're good. So we would, so she would basically disappear every weekend when we're supposed to do the work. So I ended up just like sitting down with her. Everything was super friendly. Saying, look, you're never here. I'm doing all the work. I don't think this is definitely not working for me. And, you know, she was like, yeah, I'm just not engaged with this, blah, blah, blah. So we amicably just split away. And, so after that, I managed to get the clothes made, because I got some investment from a friend of the wife, my wife, Anna Belen, and that basically pays for the manufacturing, fabric, blah, blah, blah. But what I didn't know was how, and excuse my language, how the fuck was I gonna sell this? So that no one taught me. So here you have me with about 6 or 7 boxes full of clothes that I get them. And I'm like, oh shit. Yeah. How do I sell this stuff? And something funny is that I can't believe how it never occurred to me at that moment. Because you know damn well that hindsight, everything is simple. But in the moment, it's just so hard to see some things that, you know, that a few days later, a few years later, are just so crystal clear. It's like, how, you probably tell yourself, how could I not see that? It was just there, right in front of my eyes. So, when I'm put in the situation of, how the hell do I sell this stuff? Oops, 3K. How the hell do I sell this stuff? It never occurs to me online. I know. So, this was back in about 2005, something like that. Yeah, 2005. So, why did it never occur to me online when in about 2000, the year 2000, I was making and making stuff. They were halter tops in my apartment in San Diego and selling them on eBay. And I was actually selling them. People were giving me money for what I was making. Okay, we're at a red light, but we're gonna go because it just turned green. So, it never occurred to me. Like, honestly, never occurred to me. I completely forgot that I had done all of that. And to this day, I find it outstanding that never occurred to me. But anyway, so the only idea that did occur to me was, hey, you know, let's fly here, I don't know, but let's go to London. They have two big markets. It's called Camden, and the other one's Portobello. And let's sell them there. So I go and do all of this research to see if I can sell this stuff there. I find out that the markets are run by official government agencies. So I start corresponding over email. Everything seems cool. I get my reservations for the spots. I ask them, hey, do I need any special permits or anything to pay taxes or whatever? And literally the answer that I got was, no, you're cool, everything's fine. So I go out there. Well, I don't go out there. Me and my wife go out there. Me and Belen. So we get everything ready. We find a room for rent in the house that cost us everything we had left, pretty much, minus the money we had to pay for our stalls for, I think, for about 2 weeks in these markets. And so take the boxes, we drop them off at a shipping agency that was going to mail them out about a day after we were supposed to arrive and get set up and all this kind of good stuff. In the red light. So, what happens is that another red light. So what happens is that I buy the airplane tickets, and we were landing in an airport called Stansted, I believe. So, long story short, private stanchion, immigration officer must have been having one of those days, because I show him all my documentation. I show him, oh man, I hate running when it's raining because the sidewalks get super slippery, and every step that you take, there's like a little give, and it just makes running a little bit unsteady. But it's only a short little distance that I have left before I reach some proper asphalt. So yeah, immigration officer. I show him all the documentation, show him my email correspondence with the people that run the markets. I show them documentation for everything, you know. I didn't lie. It would have been much easier on myself if I would have just lied and said, oh, I'm just here on vacation. That would have made everything just super smooth. But no, I don't lie. So I told him the truth like I would tell anyone else the truth, that we were there to sell some stuff in a market, so on and so forth. And I end up getting detained for about 6-7 hours, after which, well, I did watch a few times on loop White Fang 2, because that's what was playing in the little detention room. Hilarious. So anyway, so White Fang 2, get detained, and okay, you're gonna have to excuse me for a minute, because I'm about to do something normal, and that is blow out some snot. Much better. Sorry about that. But if you run, you know what's up. So I'm detained, and I'm just sitting there. I don't even know if I was mad anymore. But detained, and after like these 6 or 7 hours, the written on paper, and I have proof written on paper, the reason why they were deporting me, yes, I ended up getting deported from England. Deported from England, hilarious. So, on paper, the reason was that I could not prove my identity. Yes. And get ready, because this is all the identification that I had on me. So I had, obviously, my passport. Yeah, passport, American passport, U.S. citizen, American passport. I'm just gonna go first through the American stuff that I had, then I'll go through the Spanish stuff that I had. So, American passport, American birth certificate, original. American social security card, original. American driver's license from Arizona, original. Because my parents ended up moving to Arizona. I did my last 2 years of high school in Arizona. So, this was on my American side. European side, I had my student residency card, my visa, which turned over into the student residency card, student permit here, and basically that's all I needed to prove that I was here as a student, blah blah. Then I also had, and I think over the course of these little recordings, if they end up working well, you'll discover that I get myself into a lot of different stuff. So there was an idea, and I'll come back to the other piece of proof that I have. We had an idea that we were going to sell the clothes in the UK, in London, and from the money we were going to make out of it, we had met these two guys who had opened an Italian restaurant right in front of our apartment. And this Italian restaurant was spectacular. Like I've never had Italian food like that again. It was absolutely unbelievable. So we eventually became friends, and we had the idea to go and open an Italian restaurant in Beijing, in China, for the Olympics, because the Olympics were coming up in a couple years. And how we got to this point of thinking that we should successfully sell clothes to open an Italian restaurant, I don't know. Honestly, it's some of those things that I just do, that I think a lot of us just do, that I wasn't thinking. It seemed like a good idea. I got excited. Everyone was excited. And we just, that's what we were gonna do. So, because that's what we were gonna do, and because I don't, because I'm a very take action guy, I had already got for us, for Belen and myself, the letter of invitation that the Chinese need to give to you in order for you to go over there. So we had these official Chinese letters of invitation stating when we were gonna, that we had basically like a permit of entry or something like that, like their kind of visa. So it's not rocket coming up. Boom. Oh, red light. Come on. Don't get run over. All right. They're not going through. So that was the last piece of ID that I had for these people. I had all my American stuff original, all the Spanish stuff original, the emails between myself and the government official, and these invitation letters saying, oh, these invitation letters from China. Plus, we had our airplane tickets back out of London in like 2 weeks. So we had all this. We even had the address of the room we were renting. Bananas. And after all of this, the official written reply was, I cannot prove my identity. So they were sending me back to the port of origin, which was Barcelona. So in all of this, my absolutely amazing, beautiful, fantastic, smart, courageous, man, I don't even, I there's not enough words, honestly, to describe how much I love this woman. Basically, she was there with me, not in the detention center, because she's a European. Well, she's a Spanish citizen, so hence she could move around freely through Europe. So she had no problem. She was immediately allowed to cross. Well, she stayed on the other side as close to the exit door as possible, because they kept shooing her over to the exit door, encouraging her to leave the arrivals area, because I was detained, and then there was, after they check your luggage, there's a little door that you cross, and she pretty much refused, from what I recall, to cross that door, and she pretty much stayed as close to me as possible. So So yeah, she stayed there like a trooper, 6 or 7 hours, wondering what the hell was going on with me. And yeah, you know, there's times in life, and I'll talk more about my wife later, but there's times in life where you meet people that change the rest of your life. Whether it's because you spend a few minutes with them, or because you spend a lifetime with them, you never know, but they have that impact. And Belen, my wife, I love her so much. So get deported. We end up spending the money we had for the room and 2 airplane tickets immediately back to Barcelona, because they wanted us to wait another 24 hours in, oh, here's the funny part. Wait another 24 hours before actually putting us on a plane and sending, well, not us, me. They weren't deporting her, so she would still have to pay for her own way. But, so it would be 24 hours before I was deported. So we said, fuck this. Spent all our money on 2 airplane tickets that left within like an hour and a half of getting the news. And here's the even more ridiculous part. Boom, hold on a second. We just arrived at the beach. This is the great thing of Barcelona, the beach. Even though I'm not a swimmer, don't trust the water, don't trust what's in it. It's amazing. I'm gonna go down there. So, a little bit of running on the sand. So, I'm gonna take a picture. I'm gonna try and keep talking to you a little bit while we take this photograph. You can see, if you check out the Strava, you can see the point to where I kind of stopped for a minute or something. And this is absolutely beautiful. So let me, take this picture for you, for me, for everyone. Photo, boom. Let's see. This isn't the prettiest picture because it's cloudy, but hey, some water, some sand, and proof that we were here, and make sure, and we're still recording. Pretty cool. All right. So yeah, man, this is beautiful. And we take it so for granted, so for granted. All right, time to keep the legs moving. So we're deported. Spend all our money on 2 tickets, make an urgent phone call to the shipping company with the boxes, and we're like, dude, don't send anything. Fortunately, they were still, they had not been sent out yet. So, yeah, that was a big plus. Come back to Spain, try and sell it, impossible. Trying to sell it in the stores, doesn't work. And then it's like, look, and we only had, here's the other thing, we ended up having to go back. We flew back to Barcelona because we had basically no plan of coming back to Barcelona. So we left our apartments. So we canceled our lease. We were sharing apartments. So we canceled that. And we got rid of about 80% of all of our belongings. Everything. Got rid of it. Because we were like, we're going to be on the road. We need to travel light. And we can't be bothered. So we got rid of everything. I got rid of about 2 giant duffel bags of clothes and shoes. I mean, giant. Like, these things were ridiculous. Like, no person should have that much junk, honestly. So, anyways, she didn't have much stuff because she's always been very sparse. She did have a shit ton of books, that's for sure. So it ends up that we only have two days left in our rental agreement. So, deported, fly back to Barcelona. We have 2 days to figure out what the hell we're gonna do, plus figure out how we're gonna move these 6-7 boxes of clothing with practically no money. And I'm not lying to you. I'm not saying we didn't have any money, and secretly we had 2 or 3 thousand in a bank account. No money. Okay, no money. So we're like, shit, let's figure this out. And it's not rocket. Sorry about that. And so we decided, all right, let's go to your parents' house, to Belen's parents' house in Madrid, because we can kind of regroup. We don't have to pay rent, which is obviously a giant plus, because neither one of us had jobs at that anymore. So we end up going back there. My dad sent me some money to move the boxes. So yeah, no bullshit. And when we're there, we keep trying to sell it. We keep trying to sell this shit. And we're just getting rejected. So it gets to the point where it's like, damn, you know, let's just go. Why don't we go to Arizona? Because another long story. My parents had split up, and they both ended up going back to California, but living separately. And my dad was still paying for a house in Arizona, because we moved back to Arizona when I was, not back to, we moved to Arizona when I was about 16. So I finished my junior and senior years in Arizona. So we're almost at 7K, by the way. So eventually we decide, yeah, let's do that. Let's go for the adventure. 7K. Let's go for the adventure. Let's go to Arizona and yeah, see what happens there. Get to Arizona. Again, thanks to my dad. He paid for the flights. I'm not gonna bullshit you. So we get there and immediately I start looking for work, because, you know, gotta work. So I end up getting a job at Lowe's. I love Lowe's. What's up, Lowe's? Shout out to Lowe's. If you need building materials, go to Lowe's. So I ended up getting a job as a team leader at Lowe's, because in the building materials section, because I have worked with my dad ever since I had I'm going up this little steep climb here. It's not long, but it's a little steep, and well, you know. So because I've worked in construction with my dad for forever. I remember before the U.S. became even more hyper politically correct and lawsuit crazy. I used to go every summer with my dad to work with him at a construction company he was working at. That used to be, I think it's still, might need to catch my breath a little bit there. So he was working at a construction company for a super long time called Top Grade in the Bay Area. And so I would go every summer. I would go every day with him since I was like, man, since I was small. I may have been like 10, 11, 12, I don't know. But it was, I was small. So anyway, so I would go with him every summer, every day. I'd go work with him. I'd wake up with him like at 4:30 a.m. And, my mom would be making lunches. And, my fucking dad, he's awesome. We would stop at McDonald's almost every day. Even though my mom had made breakfast burritos and shit, we would still stop at McDonald's. This is kind of what I'm burning off now. about fucking 15 years of getting to eat every capricious thing that I wanted. I wanted McDonald's. My dad was like, hell yeah, let's go to McDonald's. Want some ice cream? Hell yeah, let's go to get some ice cream. Want 40 cherry pies? Dude, let's go get 40 cherry pies. Holy shit. I know, they're just doing the best they could. So. So I had always been working with him in construction. I ended up working with him in his own company that he started up, and his like side jobs and stuff like that. So I knew a lot, and I think I still do, So I'm pretty confident that right now I could build my own house and have it not fall on top of me for at least a year or two. After that, I don't know, but at least a year or two, I think I have shelter. So I've been working with him. And that kind of gave me the experience to jump into the department of the team leader, because I really didn't know a lot about all the stuff we were selling, from the carpentry stuff to the cement and lumber, to doors and finishings and sightings and all this type of shit. So I jumped in as team leader. It's making probably about like 11, 12 bucks an hour or something like that, which I wasn't mad at. We are at 8K. So started working there, and I tried not hard, I'm gonna admit it. I didn't try too hard to sell these boxes of clothes, because it kind of became a burden, and I kind of got extremely burnt out with everything that happened around, I would say around failing. I think I'm comfortable in summarizing it like that. Failing, and I never had this entrepreneurial education back then about, failure and how to take failure and how to kind of roll with the punch of failure. I didn't know that. So I literally took this failure head on, personal blow, and it kind of just completely turned me off to anything that was fashion related for an extremely long time. I would say that beginning to think about starting this, let's call it a fitness apparel, running apparel company, brand, is really the first, you know, venture back into doing something that's related to what I have studied, I guess. So, yeah. And again, I have no idea how I'm going to do this, but I'm going to try. So yeah, back in Arizona, I kind of started this process of learning, of self-educating myself on marketing, which was the thing that no one taught me, which was the thing that I attributed my failure to, besides myself, because I just didn't know how the hell to sell anything. And I'm not saying I do now, but damn, I started learning a lot about it, reading books, but eventually we had to come back to Spain. But we didn't have to, we decided to, because my wife's parents were really old. So dad ended up having I'm gonna be honest with you. He tried to commit suicide when he was in Madrid. He was about 79 or something like that at the time. And he had always suffered from depression and stuff like that. And yeah, poor dude. So when that whole thing went down, my wife came out here. She saw her mom in a really bad state. Her dad was obviously in a pretty bad state. He was he didn't actually jump or anything. They saw him trying to climb out a window from a super tall building here, the hospital building, something like that. And they managed to pull him back in, and they interned him for I think a month or two or something like that in the psychiatric ward for observation. And yeah, when my wife saw that go down, it's kind of like, you know, I feel like I've got to be out here for a while. And we weren't married at that point. She was just she was my girlfriend. So she was like, dude, I think I have to come back out here. If you want to come back out here, let me know. If you don't, I completely understand. She was like, this is my problem, my family, so on and so forth. And I mean, for me, it was a no-brainer. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? For sure I'm going back there with you. Because to this day, she's the most important thing. Most important. Nothing is more important. Nothing. So she was back out here, and, you know, $11, $12 an hour doesn't pay that much. So, it took me a couple months between both of us, I was able to, come back out here, get the plane ticket. I believe she bought the plane ticket, I think. So, it's not rocket. So yeah, ended up coming back out here. This was about, I would say about late 2005, early 2006, something like that. Came back to Madrid, lived in Madrid for about 8 years, 7-8 years. And then about 2 years ago, maybe a little more, almost three, something like that. I just decided to, we needed a change. And I made the initial move to move out here to Barcelona, because her dad passed away about 2 years ago, 3 years ago, something like that, 2 years ago. her mom has Alzheimer's, so she's in an old folks home. So fortunately, the home where she's staying at is about a block away from where we live. So it's super convenient for my wife to go over there every day, see her, visit her. So that's kind of a little bit of backstory, I guess. I mean, in Madrid, obviously I did a whole bunch of other stuff that, oh man, that was funny. Shit. It's like, you look back on things I look back on things and in the point of life that I'm at now, because I think that my general good, I generally have a good attitude. You know, I'm not a corporate robot that's always smiling, but I'm always in a pretty good attitude. And what's helped a lot has been, one, losing weight. Losing weight kind of kickstarted it all. Running was pretty much in parallel with the weight loss. So it was actually changing diet, cleaning up my diet, and then running. And then running longer distances, because it's really helped a lot. I'll talk way more about that later. But kind of want to give you a background who the hell I am. We've spent almost 10 kilometers together. It's pretty cool. So let's see what else. So Madrid, I worked as a graphic designer and product designer for a company that did promotional products. What are promotional products, Jimmy? So promotional products basically are all these companies and brands that basically give away stuff to get you to buy their stuff. So let's say you go into a supermarket and brand X is offering you, maybe this is something much bigger here than it is in the States, because in the States, I only recall getting free stuff inside the cereal box. So here, there'll be a lot of times where they'll do on-pack promotions. And basically this means you get some free junk that's stuck on the pack to get you to buy whatever junk they're selling. So, or let's say Brand X is having a big party. And let's say Brand X is having a big Super Bowl party somewhere, and they want to give out t-shirts to the audience. So basically, all these promotional products we would design and manufacture across Asia, from Bangladesh to China. So I start off as a 10K, boom, congratulations. You should really pat yourself on the back. Fucking 10K, this is pretty cool. And we spent it together. So yeah, that's awesome. You're a machine. You're a total machine. Look at you, 10K is nothing. Right on, high five. Awesome. So, I think we might end up doing 13, maybe? Yeah, I think it'll be 13. Today it'll be a 13. So, where was I? Oh yeah. So these on-packs, so we would design, manufacture, all that stuff. And I started off there as an intern. Well, yeah, I would say I was an intern. So, I was a paid intern though, and for Spain, for being Spain, because the salaries here are an absolute joke. they're an absolute joke across the board. But that's another rant for another day. So, oh, they get the snot rocket coming in. There we go. Boom. High five for snot rockets. So, I was working there, and, yeah, started off as an intern, learned a lot, got to design products for a bunch of cool companies, well, let's say a bunch of big brands. I don't know about cool companies, big brands, and I got to see my products actually manufactured, which was, it was gnarly. It was pretty awesome. So, but as we all fuck up and make mistakes in life, I after about a year and a half, something like that, a little bit over a year, I went and I was like, hey, you know, I've been here for a while now. Do you think that, you know, we could probably talk about getting a raise? Because, you know, I think I'm doing really good work. I've progressed extremely fast. Brands and clients specifically asked for me to do their proposals. And I'm doing a lot. So do you think we could, damn, these two dudes are crazy drunk. One of them's crying, and the other one is hugging him. Oh man, alcohol, beware. Oh wait, I'm gonna go this way, not that way. So basically right now I'm getting close to the part of the port where all the nightclubs are. So in Barcelona, they have a section of the beach, of the port, where all these nightclubs are kind of smushed together. And in summertime, at around, because right now it's about 7 a.m. or something like that, everybody will just basically wake up drunk on the beach in the club. It'll be like 5 a.m. and people will be stumbling out of the clubs drunk and generally in a positive mood. But as you can imagine, alcohol also makes a lot of assholes. Nope, a little bit of spit. So, but anyways. So, what was that? So I went over, asked for a raise, and to my surprise, I was treated like I was trying to rob the company. It was incredible. Hey, seagulls. What's up? Good morning. So yeah, I was really not prepared for that reaction, because I thought it was gonna be like, oh yeah, dude, you've been doing an awesome job for the past year plus. You start off as an intern, and I think we can revise your salary, see how much more we could give you, and But no, basically it became a thing of just throwing into my face everything that they do for me. It just became a very defensive position on behalf of the owner of the company, to which the creative director, my boss, did not say a single word in my defense. Or at least not a single word that I'm aware of. And he definitely never told me, dude, I tried, man. Tried talking to him, but there's no reasoning in him. So yeah, to this day, I don't think that guy ever said anything. But anyways, that's beside the point. I learned a lot from him. So I can't really stay angry at that dude. He taught me a lot. So at that point, I was kind of like put in a situation of like, shit, what do I do? Do I stay? Do I go? So I knew they were trying to, well, they were establishing a new division. Garbage truck. Red light. They were establishing a new division, which was supposed to take care of all the retail clients. So this was basically fashion companies that basically outsourced their design and manufacturing. So it wasn't really a fashion company. It was more licensing. So it would be large company that would buy the license, that would get a license for a brand and ask us to manufacture whatever product that brand license allowed them to sell. So because we had a lot of experience with soft goods like clothing and bags and stuff like that, we ended up doing a lot of backpacks and bags and luggage, soft luggage, all this kind of stuff. It's not rocket. Sorry about that. So, we're at 11.5K. So, I ended up trying to shift over into that department, obviously to no avail. Why, I don't know, because originally, because I asked for more money, they rejected me, and I guess that's it off of a rift, whatever. So, tried to move departments, couldn't do it, ended up quitting like a dumbass. Honestly, one of the worst moves. One of the worst moves because I totally forfeited the unemployment I could have earned. Oh, man, sucks. But anyway, live and you learn. Oh, shit. Do we live and do we learn? Well, we definitely live and we try and learn. So I quit and then I started a whole adventure of trying to set up my own company, business, et cetera, and I think this whole part might be good for a 22-25K segment, but yeah, it was a hard struggle. What I did succeed at was getting people together. I've always been really good at that. I've always been really good at community building through events, through content. Basically, I would say by empowering people to do what they want to do, you know? Because I think there's a lot of us out there, me included, and I'm pretty sure you included, that there's a bunch of stuff that you want to do, that I even think that you need to do. That's just, I'm holding myself, yourself, ourselves back for whatever reason. You know, a lot of these reasons usually are we're afraid. We're afraid we have some mental conditioning, barriers, learned behaviors, a whole bunch of shit that was established when we were kids, really. I know I'm no psychologist, I just play one on this show, that are just, this is the metro, well really the tram, that's like an above ground tram. That it's pretty cool. And that's what you're hearing right next to me. So yeah, I think it's all these little things that are holding us back. And Finding the way to break through and to actually do what we want to do, what's going to make us happy, is such a labor of self-development, introspection, pointing the finger at one's own reality, existence, so on and so forth. So, I mean, while I never really succeeded at making money in Madrid, I'm not gonna lie, I did succeed in bringing people together, offline and online. You know, when I was in Madrid, I started a YouTube channel, Spanish language YouTube channel, where I taught people, well, where I created YouTube videos. Obviously, YouTube channel, YouTube videos. Duh. Anyways, where I created YouTube videos teaching people what I knew about pattern drafting, sewing, and stuff like this. And oh my God, did it grow. I mean, keep in context that it's a Spanish language channel about fashion education, okay? We're not talking about like Epic Meal Time or one of these large entertainment channels. It's an educational channel, Spanish language audience, pretty ghetto-ly put together. But it grew. People loved the way that I taught, how I explained things, how I made things so easy to understand, so easy to do, that it just grew. And word of mouth, so on and so forth. So I think today the channel's about like 50 or 60,000 subscribers, and it has about 7 million, 8 million views, something like that. And for being a Spanish language channel, that's not bad. That's pretty commendable. And then started that nonprofit that I mentioned earlier in the DIY space. That basically what we did to kick things off there was to organize a macro event of workshop. So it's basically one day-long event where there was about 6 different workshops going on at the same time throughout the day. So in total, we had about 18 workshops in the whole day that were between 2 or 4 hours long, something like that. And why? I don't know. But I made it free. That was something that, you know, maybe that's a fault, but I try and make too many things free. You know, I've always thought that education should be free. I always thought that if there's something that you want to learn or discover about yourself, you shouldn't have to pay. There should not be that barrier of money between you and self-development. And that's kind of what I love about running, that the barrier to learn about yourself through running is so low. You know, there's really, you know, I firmly believe that running is one of those things that really helps you understand a lot of things about yourself, what you're made of, what happens when you're in pain. Consistency. Can you stick with it? Can you go out when it's raining? Can you go out when it's cold? Can you go out when it's super hot? Can you just keep going? And, you know, I think it's one of these extremely valuable tools that, frankly, I love. So that event was free. I paid a lot of it out of my own pocket, but I think that goodwill and good faith of making it free allowed for a lot of interesting people to collaborate and to volunteer their time to teach a workshop, which in turn helped me kind of introduce myself to them, helped in a lot of ways, because after that, that event went off with a big bang. I mean, I think over the course of the day, about 300 people stopped by to either take a workshop or just to check it out. It was amazing. And then the online presence it established was also really big. So yeah, but never really figured out how to make money from it. Damn it. Yeah, it's one of those things that I'm trying to learn. It's not easy, but I'm discovering a lot about myself, you know. So we're almost done. We're at 13.3. I've got one block before I stop. So I'm going to thank you and congratulate you. I thank you for the time. Thank you for, you know, being here, spending a little bit over an hour with me. Hopefully this is good enough audio. And congratulations, because if you went out for a run, or if you run and you stuck through this 13K, you're a machine. You're a champ. Good job. Congratulations. And this is Jimmy signing off. So this is the next episode. I guess I'll talk more about something. Probably about the brand, I guess. What I want to do with it, how I want to build it, maybe, yeah, because, yeah, I want you to know exactly what's up with everything. So, yeah, thanks a lot. And if you have any questions or whatever, you can email me at jimmy@jimmyhanna.com, or you can tweet at me. The handle is @jimmyhannatweets. That's the whole handle, Jimmy Hanna Tweets. And that's JimmyHanna Tweets. Over and out. I love you all.